X, and you'd stand right behind me like my guardian angel. and I never understood how much you were pushing me to be better.
Okay, and, Rory, we just worked out. Let's go stand in the mirror shirtless and look at ourselves.
And I'm just all, yeah, oh, hey, that does look cool. I am pretty ripped now. Because Rick's problem was I didn't get all like, ooh, hey, look at this other hot guy. I am hot as shit. I'm really self-involved. I didn't have room to be gay with my new best friend. I was just all into me.
You're gay with yourself.
Oh, yeah. Who's the best lover in the world? I am.
Practice several times a week.
A day. Married with two kids. Shit, it's like I'm 17 all over again.
You gotta love yourself.
I'm really glad that this isn't like really recorded.
Oh, I was thinking this was excellent show material.
Is this being recorded?
Just now, yes. This whole last little conversation.
All right, well, this is pre-show.
But this is.
No, we already did the pre-show.
Oh, this is already pre-show?
I was on the pre-show.
But this could be. We haven't like cold started the show like this in a while. We could begin with this and now go into the song.
Whatever.
No, we could hear the song.
Yeah, let's go to a song. Yeah, leave it. Let's cold open like me making an ass of myself. And now here's a song. From the album Saki, that was The Cooling Table by the Lazy User Universe. Damn it.
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from the first day of fall, I guess, in everybody's opinion right now, because it got cold overnight. But this is the worst little podcast in the world, and I'm your host, the Reverend Rory Dowd, with my good buddy, Nick Ramirez, here in the studio.
Hola.
We're happy to be back. It's been a week. We've got Ian in the studio,
hey.
Production assistant. We've also got more music by the Lazy Universe and our good friend, Pam.
Hey. Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
What's up?
Wow.
Fuck, I love you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Loving you, brother.
Everybody's looking great.
Well, thank you.
You too.
You too. You're wearing your customary beanie and burlap sack. No.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know Pan, to see him without a beanie on, I don't care what day of the year it is, unless he's on stage and it's for a part in a play that somebody wrote 10 minutes ago. Pan usually has a beanie on.
Yeah, I got my hair is beautiful though.
Oh, it is.
It is.
I was just gonna say, there's nothing fucking.
But
wrong
you're
with
just
that
really,
hair.
Like you're just really comfortable protection. In that beanie. Like I think of you, I think beanie. You're a beanie man.
Yeah, it's
for sure.
You know what it really is? Is my ears are so fucking sensitive. The beanie feels really nice.
You mean sensitive to wind or sensitive to sound?
Yeah,
or
not? Yeah, I
a beanie only cuts a tiny bit of your high end. Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I know it's all psychological, but it makes me feel better.
Oh my god!
No,
so
there you go.
It's Pan's dog-like hearing that causes him to wear a beanie every day. That's awesome.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Pan will always look like an excited boy till the day he dies.
I am.
Yeah.
Every time I see Pan, it's just like, the look on his face is like, is it Christmas morning already?
it's fucking good to be here.
Man. Fucking amen, yeah.
Yeah.
But this you're kind of here solo. In the past you've been here with your compatriots, the WMC, the Weapons.
Band. My god, the fucking
some of the greatest other human beings and
what a fun group. We're at the fucking fourth fucking incarnation of this band now.
Yeah.
And Chelsea is great. And
For those who don't know, Chelsea is the new bass player.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Rick.
I didn't know.
Yeah, wow, that's good.
Wow. I have done this before.
Ben, not everybody reads your Facebook posts.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
This is like a real interview, man, not just hanging
out. All right, okay. I don't know. I can only be one way. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, no, she's amazing, though. And we were sitting in the studio, and we were cleaning up, and Steven looked at our message. We were fucking done. We quit. We're leaving. Like, oh, that was a great over a decade. You guys are great. I guess that new album, you know, God bless it. Like,
sail off into the sea.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's like, she's like, we got a message. And I'm like, we're just like, yeah, we just like torturing ourselves. Like, what did we miss out on? What is it? And it was her. And she's like, I just got off national tour. I heard you guys need a bass player. And we're like, we took it. Yeah, like the light came through the window and there's fucking angels singing. And it's like,
nice.
Yeah,
so cool. Nice. So,
yeah, it was good. It was great. And so on we go. She's coming in this weekend into this studio to finish that album and do the bass on it.
Nice.
And because we're coming back, we're going to do one more song on this album.
An extra, like, kick
just
you in the face track.
Just one more, yeah. It's called Monsters.
Well, it's something you guys have written since
a new creation.
She's been in the band, right?
It's brand spanking new to her.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's
nice. Perfect.
It's new, yeah.
That's excellent, brother.
So,
excellent to hear that.
That ought to be fun, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And then you yourself, I've been meaning to like shine a little spotlight on you for this publicly for quite some time. Mr. Pan Pantoja, Reno Poet Laureate.
Oh, my God.
Which, as from what I know of the position, and I have looked into the position and not applied because I am much more of a slacker than you are, and your body of work, you're far more prolific than I got kids. You got, well, you have kids, too, but, like, man, we have, like, you have so many more words still coming out of you than I do. And as far as I know, though, every time you make a public appearance, whether it be in person or on the fake radio, you do have to be introduced as the Reno Poet Laureate, Pan Pandoja.
Jesus. Yeah, thank you.
That happened. Yeah, brother. Congratulations.
Mr. Pandoja, now that you have a recognition...
the recommendations of both the city of Reno and the worst poet in Reno.
Now that you have recognition and a title, does your art suck? That's the way it works, isn't it?
Oh fuck! Yeah, I a good friend. I didn't even know what they were. A good friend nominated me, and then I found out when they told me, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then, it's weird. No,
fucking
it's weird
because
that thing's
that's even better.
That thing's usually given to like a doctorate of literature.
Some erudite.
I am not a doctor.
Some erudite university a-hole.
No, well, I, you know.
Who have the previous poet laureates been? I don't even know. Do you know?
Yeah, I do. There was one previous, or two.
Two.
There would have been two. The one I believe directly previously to you was Gail Marie.
She was the first one.
She was the first. Gail Marie Palmyre.
Do you have it till your death, or is it just this year?
No.
Would you like to explain?
Yeah, they. It's yeah. I'm a government poet, and then they.
He's on a government poet dole.
Yeah, and then.
Thank God.
And then
the government hires. Okay. Okay. No, continue.
And then they review you. You know. They review you, and then at the end of the year, and then you can be it 2 years, and then you're out. You know.
It's a 2 year post. You can lose it the first
year.
You can
lose it. You can lose it.
You
can fuck up by, you know.
Gosh, and I'm
being on this show.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the second poet laureate in Reno. Do you remember his name?
I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah, so are those people
we're
now?
Dumbasses.
That's horrible.
Are those people?
I should look that up on my phone, but I'm not.
Are they considered?
Well, I didn't know any of it, so I'm a real dumbass.
Same here, Nick.
No, I'm so sorry, man. I've seen him speak though. He's great.
Are they poet laureates forever, or are they poet laureates emeritus?
The title is for
you
life.
I get to say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have to.
You can throw emeritus at the end at Reno Poet Laureate emeritus at the end
so
of it.
Fucking
that'll
rad.
Sound like all fancy.
Pan,
and shit.
You have to put that on your business cards 2 years from now.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. Fuck.
And then
but that, it is a recognition. No, I'll say this from somebody who follows what it is and what it means to city government. It is a new program, and it's to spotlight and honor Reno poets who are going out there and changing lives. Gail Marie was a university professor at UNR for a number of years. I studied poetry under her. She was a wonderful teacher and a great poet herself.
Sexually.
The guy in the middle, I'm sorry, I don't know his credentials, but he's similar.
Also a professor.
But yeah, similarly, also a published writer, inspiring young and educating young poets and young artistic minds. And I think that right there is a big part of what brought you to that. To that post is because you are so prolific. You're out there in the community. You are changing lives and hearts, and especially young people's minds.
Oh shit! You do so much crap.
Like seriously.
Oh my god! Like I
between the potentialists, you know. I mean, you helped build that from the ground up, and that's still like a very important part of young people and art in Reno right now.
Fuck.
Yeah. How many years have you been doing that?
Oh man. I said that word when I was 18.
Okay.
And then that's like been an ethos for opening up like 19.
Potentialism.
Over on Dickerson. When did Dickerson open up?
2011 or 12?
And for those who don't know, giant warehouse art space for people to do stuff.
Yeah. All the time, and it's crazy fun.
It was great, dude. The shows there were awesome.
That was some avant-garde shit out there. And then also before that, it was the Salvagery. We were over on 4th Street.
The Salvagery.
That was like being like, that was the start of a lot in Reno. Not many people know about it, but that was the start of not. There was stuff before that, believe me. There was like huge movements, but then that started something new, and like that turned into a lot of different things, like
that are still going on today.
And that place was like being like the last rat on a ship. Me and that was a wild ride. I was one of the last. There were two of us left at the end, and we both like we jumped onto another boat together. That was insane.
Wait, it just slowly rotted away, and everybody abandoned it. Is that what you're?
It was Wild West there. We just completely transformed this entire desolate four block. Part of 4th Street there are lights there now, and there's like breweries, and it's, you know, they're trying really hard to move the fucking homeless people. Just leave. There's fucking empty places. I don't know what they're doing.
You know, if you're going to have a big city, make sure you put your homeless population right in the middle of downtown.
Well, and I'm going to, from the point of view of somebody who left Reno and came back, I left in, 2007? And I came back in 2010. And, okay. And salvagery basically happened in that gap of time.
Yeah.
Before I left, 4th Street is exactly what it conjures in the minds of anybody who's from and around Reno. Dark, hookers at all those weeklies, just kind of walking around at all hours a day. The recycling place with the clown underneath the overpass. Yeah. And yeah, halfway club is always fucking halfway club. But that's the far end of it all. But there's that deep, dark gap of you didn't go to 4th Street unless you were like in a band, serious drinker, or anything else.
If you have to hang out there for like hours and not like days and shit, I bet it's fucking like living in the Twilight Zone. For sure.
Two times I've been held up with a gun. Two times. One time was there. And like, I walked out of the fucking, it was my night to close the motherfucker. I normally I'm very aware of my situation. But I was pissed that day. And I just walked out, grabbed the sign. I heard like behind me. And I'm like, the fuck? And I turn around and he's got the gun. And I'm like, look at me. Like, look at my fucking shoes. I'm like, look, I have nothing. Do you want me to paint you a painting? Would you like to come inside? and he just was like, mom is my fucking, and he put the thing away and fucking walked away.
Wow.
And I walked back inside.
That's wild.
I was like,
but the point I wanted to make that,
holy shit,
then when I came back to Reno, and especially now with this whole the 4th Street merchants and entertainment district and stuff,
you're doing good.
It's a well-lit area. People can freely park and walk around, get shit-faced, and make it home okay. Just like in Midtown, just like in downtown. I mean, there has definitely been a literal light-bringing to that area. And yeah, it is still a depressed area in some senses.
Some parts. Yeah, that was wild.
But at the same time, that's never going to go away in a town. Unless you deal with it directly,
they should make like an ordinance.
Bringing lights.
If you're gonna,
to the area,
if you're gonna come to the city and buy out shit and be that fucking guy, you also have to contribute of like a homeless tax that helps the fucking homeless.
Definitely.
If you're gonna fucking kick people out of affordable housing and spread them out, then you have to pay a fucking like homeless tax where you contribute to the fucking homeless. Did you know?
Deal with the root problem, man. Like, that's horrible that it's just happening all across town.
Yeah.
The only way we don't have that, though, is to be smaller.
That's why
we're bigger now. That's just the way it is.
No, we got to
do whatever we can to help them, but shit.
I sat downtown, and, like, I hadn't done that in a long time, and I didn't know where I was. I thought I was, like, sitting in fucking Portland for a second, or maybe I was sitting, like, in, like, Austin for just one second, and I was like, "What the fuck? What the fuck am I right now? What's going on?" And like, it's turned into something beautiful, you know. Let all these people come, but don't run out all the crazy people who like tried to make it happen.
Yeah,
Dr. Asperger,
that's like
the guy
Man,
who
dude.
Initially
it's
identified like autism, once said
thing about our hip city is that there were people who were fucking planting those seeds. And it came before the people who planted those seeds, too, you know?
But as Dr. Asperger said, and he's the guy who originally identified autism, To succeed in the arts and the sciences, one must have a little bit of autism. So don't chase out the crazies. Let's have a song.
And if you
this
have
went a, down a weird side road, let's have a crazy. Song. What's the next song, Nick? Set this
and
up.
And if you're crazy, you don't necessarily have autism. So shut up.
Oh, I didn't
mean
next
to say song,
that
Rick. Rick, what did we have next on the?
Do you want to hear the new clean?
This is and I want to introduce it by saying the reason we're listening to Lazy Universe today is because we just played Rad Show at Burning Man.
Oh, it's not just because they're amazing.
Yeah, we had fucking two live shows out on Thursday. And was it Thursday and Friday? No, it was Friday and Saturday, right? No,
Friday.
Thursday and Friday.
Time is bent at Burning Man.
And I'm going to tell you, and then Nick Ironmanned it out of the desert into Wingfield Park, played a one-ton dually show, and left later that day to go back out to the live.
Jesus, Nick.
They burned the man that night.
Awesome. Did you just show up covered in playa dust, play a show, and go back out there?
He showered.
No,
he
ate food. No,
I even washed my car.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was going back out.
Just doing a useless activity.
Dude,
I figure I'm going to not get pulled over if I don't have ply dust coming back in. Where all the cops are everywhere. If I look like I have a brand new car.
Not a bad thought. Not a bad thought.
My little boy's calling.
We're going to play a song anyway.
Oh, well, no.
Okay. Oh, should we listen to the Pan Talk to this kid?
I don't know.
Just play the song.
Yeah, let's just play the song. We'll see how it goes.
I'm not gone.
Damn. That's Nick, fucking
great.
Nick,
so great.
Nick, yeah. Nick, really, you gotta teach me to play bass better. Like, God damn.
I have a tip. When we make a set list, you write the chords that are in the song down. And read it that way, dude.
I didn't say call me out on air, dude.
Oh, you didn't have to make it obvious. So. I was just saying it's a tip.
No, no, no.
From your old friend Nick. And also, here's a tip for you and all the listeners who want to who don't play guitar but want to. And this is coming from Joe Grissino, who told me, you keep your fucking guitar outside of the guitar case at all times when you're at home. And it's like it's like a person that you can't ignore in the room, and you're like, oh, hello, I'm so sorry, come here, and you play them for a little bit, like you'd feed your dog or take it for a walk. You'd have to play your guitar that if you're going to be a guitar player. You have to love your guitar, you know. Mm-hmm. And I neglect it, and I feel bad about it, but I know that secret because Joe told me. And
damn, that's a good self-guilt trip kind of secret. Now, I'm going to...
Same with writing the fucking things down.
And as you say that, it occurs to me, before I had a infant, toddler, small child in the house, I kept mine out of the case much more often. But it behooves me
to put a hanger on your wall.
I should put it in my bedroom wall. My bedroom wall.
Those fucking things are $5, Rory. Yep. $5.
It's rad. You just hang your guitar on the wall.
And I have a stud finder. You can find the stud.
Oh, no, I got that too. But, I also have, like, that 50-year-old sheetrock.
Mm. Plus, it makes it more desirable for your child. So when they get to the age where they want to play guitar, they're like, can you pull that off the wall?
See,
and they have,
the
like,
thing,
some
though.
Kind of respect for it.
It's
not just lying around all...
On the weekends with the boy, I always play guitar with him because I get to wake up with him in the morning. And
so we
play guitar in the morning, and he's singing to me these days. Aww. He's trying to do la 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 la. And he goes,
Yay!
You gotta start him young, man.
He's gonna, his voice is gonna be in training before he gets on here in the Christmas episode.
That's so great that you had another child for this podcast.
Thank you, Rory. Another 10 years.
Just 10 years.
Yeah.
Until he stops being cute.
Shit.
Oh my goodness.
Hey,
Pan's talking to his child.
So when the Lazy Universe, man.
Hey, man.
When's the next time they playing? What are you guys doing?
Well, we were possibly playing with Willie Vallotton, who wrote The Motel Life?
Yeah.
Richmond Fontaine.
That was a great book.
The rumor is in the band that that's what might happen.
Exclusive.
I like want it to happen, so maybe if I release it to the universe, it'll actually happen.
That'd be bitching.
But it might not. But if we don't play it, still go to the Bill Willie show in Reno because he's doing a really cool show here.
Nice.
And we played awesome on the Playa, dude. It was dope. We didn't quite get to play Damn Track because the logistics were going to be really hard with the new remodeling of the Damn Track.
The Damn Track, for those of you who don't know, is a large tractor bus that people get hauled around
on. It's not a tractor.
No, it's not a tractor.
It's a train.
It's a train. It's a train. Train, bi-level, split level, where you
quads.
Can... Quads?
Well, yeah, we have four cars.
Oh, yeah.
Four cars.
And
lower and upper decker.
You can drink and hang out and do your thing.
Yeah, and it's a bitching car, and they play rock and roll
on the damn track.
It was my favorite place to be. Best DJ on the Playa was the rock DJ Scott Dundas.
Oh, there you go.
The captain of the ship. His playlist was the dope shit, dude. Like, it was just...
And
fucking great.
You guys wanted to actually have the live band play on the Damn Track, which has happened in
the
past.
Merman was the last band to do that, and that was, they said, 7 years ago, which was kind of crazy because that's the last time I went to Burning Man.
Really?
Although I missed the Merman that year because I didn't come in until like the very end, and I still count that year anyway because I went on like Sunday. But
you made it out. You made it out.
I made it out.
There for the temple.
That was 7 years ago. Yeah. And so I missed seven of them, and then I was back out there with Jub Jubs, which is my camp, and fucking any Jubs listening to the podcast today, dude, fling poo and eat your bananas and all that, you know, the rest of it. Take care of each other like we do, and you made magic happen. That was a wonderful place to be. And it was located to a bunch of wonderful places to be. And the art out there was just spectacular. And the Lazy Universe was super happy to be a part of it. From Stacey and Hudson, I told them today, hey, or we're going to place our music on the podcast if that's cool. And they're just all, fuck yes. Oh, hell yeah.
Well, and I want to bring that up too. Here you guys are still this like old school, like rock and roll, surfy rock and roll, dream music band, jam band out there on the playa still playing that original music and not just the... I mean, Nick is a techno dance beatbox machine all on himself. But.
That's how we think of you.
Oh, yeah. We went, me and Mikey went to a disco and danced, but then they were playing soul at this one spot. Oh, so.
But how many, I mean, how many like live rock and roll bands are still like out there rocking the playa these days? It's more of a rarefied crowd. There's
you guys,
some.
All right, I'm gonna give you some props to this one camp. I think they were called Reverbia, and in Reverbia they played 140 hours of solid live bands at Burning Man.
Oh no shit!
Yeah, 140 hours worth.
I can barely
Stacey
get
and Hudson would go there once a day.
I can barely get through 16 of 24. Like, that exhausts me.
Yeah,
like Mary Anarchy.
It was the longest Mary Anarchy
ever. Right. It was
on a beautiful, giant, crafted, beautiful stage, Rick. You would have just been holy shit. Should be seeing Led Zeppelin here. It's fucking beautiful.
Their set changeovers weren't like 15, 20 minutes, though. I imagine they might have taken a little longer.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that was the report that came in. They did 140 hours of live music straight.
That's intense.
Okay, that's a big, giant rock and roll salute.
And it was only down the street from
those
where
of you
lived,
two about to rock. Yeah.
It was a beautiful
fucking
experience.
Fucking A.
And Pan is back.
Hey.
Yay.
Back in the studio.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Pan. How's your kid?
He's
clean.
Good. She had him. He's in a bath, and then she put that filter on, made him into a cat. Creeped me out.
Oh, God!
Fucking hate that shit.
My son thinks it's really funny when he's got the filter on.
No, he loves it. I'm joking. Yeah, the kid has a good. No, I'm joking. Yeah, the kid has a good time.
It creeps me out when their eyes get all big, and then their voices sound
like Jesus Christ. I can imagine if I grew up like that. Just what the fuck? What is he going to turn into?
I am so glad my pre 25 years were before any sort of hell. My pre 30 years were before social media. For fuck's sake!
Hey, Roy, I have an idea. I want to ask. First off, Pan, have you ever been to Burning Man?
Yeah.
Do you have a good Burning Man story? Pick one of your Burning Man stories out.
Yeah, pick one, huh?
Yeah, the first one that comes to
mind. I went to this woman who came floating up like a fairy.
Uh-huh.
And so did like 1,000 other people. And we're gathered around her.
Wow.
And she like makes it, she doesn't, I guess she made me in a way. I don't know. I lost control of this fairy woman. But I started like tapping myself like in different ways. And, had a very healing experience and
trippy,
and wound up sitting with Kelsey, my boy's mother, while she went through a heavy experience, and I did not want to be out in the heat.
Were you guys together or were you just friends?
No, we were together.
You were together.
It was awesome. We've had an insane that's an insane world there in itself, but it was.
Should everybody go at least once?
No.
Good answer. That's a great answer.
Should some people go at least once?
Some people should.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Have you been experienced? Have you ever been experienced?
I have not, unfortunately. All of my friends have gone, but I have not made it out. The 1 year I was supposed to,
school
happened.
Have we even introduced this voice?
Yeah, I'm Ian. Hello, production
it's
assistant
It's been a
Ian.
While.
Production assistant Ian.
I did mention he was on
Pi. We're going to call you Pi, but it's spelled P-A-I.
Hey, that works with me, man. It's better than Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah, Shrek's generic.
That's what interns get. Okay. Yeah. But no, now you're a part of the team, son.
Yes, yes. We had to haze you with Shrek.
Yeah. It's fine. We're all good.
Yeah, no. You're on the team, man. You're going to the awards show with us, too.
If I can. I've got work that night normally. I'm going to try. If I have the time off, I'll try to take it off. But, you know.
If you don't go, we're going to hold up a picture of you when we get our picture.
Hey, thank you. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's do a printout on a stick.
Yeah, our intern.
Yeah, yeah.
Our new production assistant. Yay. He just got promoted. And he couldn't be here tonight. Nobody would pay the $25.
Well, it's great to hear Ian's laugh actually on mic.
He's got a great background. Radio voice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It is nice.
One day, son, you'll have a podcast just like this.
Oh, wait. I kind of already do.
Yeah. Hey, what podcast do you have?
Dungeons and Doobies. Still currently on a hiatus.
I subscribe.
The other guy, the host that I have with me, had just recently had a schedule change. Yada, yada, yada. We're trying to find a new day to record and get things going again. Hopefully here in the next, like, two-ish weeks.
It's hard to be stoned and talk about Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, so difficult.
It's a lot of work.
So difficult. Yeah.
Do you want to come with us to UNR to talk about podcasting to a class?
What?
As a part of this show, and then you can pimp your show, too.
Yes. Sure, why not? Yes. Just let me know when.
It's going to be in November. We'll talk about
it later. We'll talk about it later. Perfect.
And all the kids in the class, last year we go to the show.
They all have their own podcast.
They all have their own podcast, and they told us about it.
Theirs are about
it.
And
I was sitting there thinking, I would have fucking loved to have heard these before I got here.
Rick, right.
Rick,
right?
I've already...
So is he going to send you a list of...
I've already taken care of that, Rick.
Thank you, Jesus.
You will be tagged in upcoming posts on a certain group, podcasting group on Facebook.
We got to check it out. We
ample
find
chance
out.
To check out the young students podcasting work.
And then if they suck, we can be like, you suck. this is what's wrong with you.
No.
It's going to be awesome.
Chill.
Wow.
Chill.
We'll write our private critiques with no names on them and put it in like suggestion box or something.
That's a little intense.
Yeah. Rick is harsh.
You know, well, you need to know right now that Rick, you need to change your plan in
Rick
life.
Rick has a secret jealousy of our friend, Professor Columbant, who teaches the class. Rick really wants to teach a class like that.
You should be a professor.
No.
Rick wants to teach people, and you aren't doing it right.
You're a great recorder.
No,
dude.
I want to steal Nico away from his wife. That's what I want.
Ooh. No,
you're gay.
Excellent observation, Nick.
So you like dudes?
I didn't really figure it out till tonight. Wow. I thought you were just
your eyes are
friendly. Not open.
Friendly?
I thought you were just goth.
I think goth like Danzig? Short and ripped?
You know, more like Anthrax, dude.
Oh, all right.
Jesus. I wrote a poem about fucking Burning Man. I just remembered that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Rick, did you ever go to Burning Man?
I have never been. I've always sat back like a jackass and made fun of it as hippie bullshit.
I have a Burning Man story.
You dig it the most, dude. They have like total gay places that you'd be all, wow,
look at all this
awesome
gay stuff. And I will probably end up covered in mud and naked. But the thing that I got that I want to go out there for a day. I want to go out there. I want somebody to take me in a bus and just
go with like the
senior citizens. And I want it to be $80.
Yeah.
Does that happen? That would be great.
It would happen for you.
Fuck.
Someone would figure out, he wants to pay $80? I could have got him for free.
Wait, you want to go, you want to go to Burning Man, but to view it is like you're going through a safari.
Exactly.
He wants
exactly
to spectate.
And you don't want to get off.
Rick wants to be able to spectate the whole time.
And then at 2 in the morning.
He wants to be a spectator, not a participant.
Right. Okay. And then drive
That'll
home.
Change like as soon as you get there, dude.
Really?
Oh, fuck. That's
Rick,
what happens.
Rick,
have you
ever heard of the Smithsonian Museums?
Yes. You can't go through it all in one day.
You can't even go through one of them Shit. In one day, and there's like seven or six.
Now or it's 80,000, man. It's fucking ridiculous. I was there when it was two.
Yeah. And Burning Man to,
that
is
was my 17th Burning
at
Man.
At least a area comparable to the area of the floors of all of those museums. Like it's an
beautiful
event that part of the whole allure is that you go out there and you can only see a small part of the enormity of it all.
Really?
Even since the early days, that was
or you could be the man where everybody comes to you. Right,
and then you get burned and die.
Right, okay. That's why we burn that guy.
I have,
but you can go to cafe and see
Man
a lot
story,
of people.
But
yeah.
I want to hear a poem about Burning Man.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh yeah, a poem.
I want to follow a really good poem with a shitty story. Shit. So.
You should apply for a grant so you get your free ticket because you're the poet laureate of Reno. You get your free grant for a ticket to Burning Man, dude, and you have to go to the
well,
cafe.
This is part
and
of
play,
his
play,
outreach to oh. the.
We got
to
make this happen, Pan.
To the dive bar
and
podcast-y
you have to camp with Jub Jub.
Junkie,
this is the best camp.
Podcast junkie dive bar set. This is you know one of his outreach programs.
Yeah.
New demographics.
What does everybody need? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Thank God. Yeah. Okay. I wrote this about Burning Man, and then Joe liked it, and he put it on.
Joe Atack, your bandmate.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made it into a song, but it's I think on like one of I don't even remember what album, but gone are the days of summer swimming holes and camping out in graveyards searching for lost souls. You bunch of assholes! It's a wonderful life. All TV set up before you here in black and white. Are you all right, man? You're looking a bit pale. Did you lose your imagination in the belly of a whale? Or set sail with Captain Crunch? X marks a spot. Now we're all standing in a funky bunch singing, I think I'm gonna start a revolution. You wanna be a movie star? You're gonna teach us some lessons getting locked behind bars? A bunch of cannibals sniffing bath salt, trying to eat my face. I'm just trying to use the bathroom. Get me out of this place. This American pie, you wanna taste? It's full of paste, but hey, that Ivy League doctor say we're all a little gay. So who's to complain if the plane went insane and crashed into my brain? I hear 100 million people screaming, Hallelujah, Pan. Exercise them demons and I'll be your favorite heathen and I'll get you believing. I'll leave you with the what the fuck just happened feeling. You wanna play ball? Kids, we ate in the same park, and I just kept running even though it got dark, and the cliff is coming just as close as it can get, but I just kept running and I ain't found the edge yet. But when I do, I'll sprout wings on my shoes. I'll fly up to the sky where they say my head's at. I ain't gonna go get it. I'm gonna leave it where it's at. It's just cold up there. I need this ice off my back, so cut me some slack. Cause I'm a little slow. Which way did they go? Go, 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 gadget war. I know we're in one, but what are we fighting for? Y'all are too damn pretty to be some rich man's whore. Hell, I'm too damn pretty to be some rich man's whore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Fantasia. Yes.
I didn't know that was a Burning Man song. That's fucking rad. I learned something I didn't know.
That was a good description. That was dope.
No, the part,
I felt it.
The part with the wings on your shoes, like fucking, that totally always gives me chills. So,
good, man.
Thank you. Yeah. I like words.
You guys want to hear another song and then we'll play a game, or do you want to play a game and hear another song?
I think let's have a song and we'll play a game.
That sounds good. All right, guys, The Lazy Universe, live at Burning Man, but not really. It's on the album Sake. You can call it Sake if you want. I called it Sake the first time, too, until I was corrected. But
oh, well, see, it's Sake. Yeah, it's Sake. All capitals. Like, it's Sake! It's yelling it.
I like Sake, though. It's kind of funny.
Sake!
It's just this awesome liqueur. Listen to this. It's like Sake
all
for your ears.
All caps must be yelling.
You know? It's like American-Japanese country.
Right, this album goes
trip.
Really good with sushi.
Sake! That's a good point. I think it does. What do you guys think? Let's hear some.
I'm
the name of that one.
All right.
Thoroughly Peeled.
It's the last thing she said.
It's not always.
It's a love song.
Don't.
It's a love song called Thoroughly Peeled.
I was in those words right at that moment. Mm-hmm. And Nick said them. I'm like,
Stacy.
One thing.
Zoss.
One thing I appreciate about Stacy is I really like.
She's a poet.
Her song titles. Like she creates a space between her lyrics and the title.
Yeah.
And no, and as a poet, that's like a real like tension that you have to create.
That's like how I listen to music. I don't care what genre. I literally only hear the words. I'm like, how did you do? Like, yeah,
message man.
Yeah,
that was nice. I really liked a couple of things she said in there. That was great.
Yeah, she makes great music, man. It worked real nice out there on the playa, you know.
Oh, I bet.
It wasn't like pretentious. It was like kind of flowy, and we had some people tripping out there too. Or like that was like the best thing I ever saw in my life. And you're just all, oh, thank you.
You're peaking, aren't you?
I can't imagine. I stayed. What was really great about my trip to you guys is that I stayed sober for all the performances until I played, and then I drank after that. But for Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, I had to do that and drive back to Burning Man. You know, take a fucking drop, you know?
No,
like, I had to be sharp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
You performed with a lot of...
So Sunday, I saw God, Rick. And he told me that he loves all of us. He told me, you guys.
We're doing his work, right?
That is what he always says.
And we're good. And we're good to go.
Every time he talks to me, he's just like, just by the way, all that shit about me not loving everybody, it's bullshit.
I hadn't been to church in 7 years, so when I got there, I saw God at church that day. It was fucking amazing. It was wonderful, you know? So I appreciate what you do weekly. That's awesome, man. That's fucking awesome. I'm going to try to get to church next year, too. Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to see if I can pull out some fucking poet laureate shit.
I think what Rick does weekly is slightly different from what you do yearly. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's a nice parallel. You got any nasty drops for that, Rick?
I'm more religious, not spiritual.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Thanks, Sam.
All right, back to earth. You want to play the game?
The game that you just lost?
Oh, shit. Sorry, everybody.
Yes, nerd.
Yeah, I just did that to all of you out there in
podcast
land. Dude,
that was like 5 years at least for me.
Welcome back to it.
You fucking dick.
You're never not playing, motherfucker.
Let's play that other game.
Yeah.
Okay, that other game. Rick, give me some music.
As you wish, Mr. Dowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the show where we're going to needle both our guest and our production assistant.
Oh, no.
With some
it's
questions.
A head-to-head match.
Yeah. Because, Ian, you've never taken this quiz before, to my
Not
best
the new
of my
school.
Knowledge.
Not the new one. I took one once when Grim Tones were on. But
I don't remember that shit. I was probably high and drunk.
Neither does our audience, so let's do it again.
Awesome.
And Pan, you've played before, but play along. Hopefully we got some curveballs for you.
Let's see what happens.
Hope we got new shit.
Okay.
You judge us if we don't have new shit. You'd be like, you guys failed.
What is your favorite form of pork?
Nah, fuck no.
You don't need pork?
No pork.
No pork?
Are you Muslim?
No.
Are you vegetarian?
I don't know yet.
But you just don't dig on swine?
Well, I fucking feel bad for those goddamn... This is too much.
Okay. All right. All right.
I have a friend who pointed out that any animal that worries about its baby shouldn't be eaten.
Oof.
She's like, if a chicken doesn't give a fuck if you eat its child, so they're fine. But pigs would really care if it missed its baby.
God damn it.
They're so cute.
Oh, man. No, I really don't want to answer this now. I feel like I'm
all
hungry.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. I guess if I had to, I'd say a pulled pork.
Pulled.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny because I made that like, myself this morning.
Hey. Nick.
Oh, man.
I'm not letting Rick follow that up. He just got a punchline.
Who, if in all of history, and you could totally get away with it, and probably beat their ass, who would you fist fight?
Would I fucking fist fight?
Who would you just deliberately pick to beat the crap out of?
Albert Einstein.
Wow.
Just, yeah, I mean, like, I have
You're an artist.
Listen, I have a lot of ideas every day. And, like, some shit you just, like, don't give to the public. They'll fucking just destroy everyone.
You're the magician.
You just gotta look. You just gotta look at that, man.
I would just like to point out that
you
so far,
you should beat up Oppenheimer.
I wouldn't hit Einstein. I mean, but
so
you know,
far,
Einstein.
But no, a young strapping Einstein, like maybe in his like mid-20s.
Oh, when he's cocky.
Okay. So
when
far
he's
we
being
have
a cocky bitch. Okay.
So far we have survived his ideas.
Okay. Well.
So far,
I don't know. Survived.
You guys are acting like Einstein.
Seven times over. Seven times we can blow the whole thing to shit. Seven times over. Gone.
It was higher in the 80s.
Okay, fine.
We're
so getting better. We're getting better.
All right, moving along.
Who would you fist fight
in all of history? Real people.
Oh, man. Honestly, our good old president of the USA, Donald J. Trump, because fuck that asshole.
Wow.
Yeah, for the win! Yeah.
Bold and current answer.
Anything that comes out of his mouth just infuriates me. So, yeah, no. Fuck that dude. Fuck that dude in particular.
We're gonna WWF
the
shit.
The shit poster in chief.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's perfect.
You guys are commies.
Rick, next question.
What is the
your favorite color?
What is the airspeed velocity of your unmating swallow?
Go ahead, Rick.
What is the sketchiest 7-Eleven in our area?
Ah, yes.
Oh, man.
Your opinion is fine, but there is a correct answer.
It just gets more points.
Yeah. I don't know the difference between them all. Is that wrong? No, that one over on Audie's pretty wicked.
It's the Montello, right?
Yes.
Montello and Audie.
Well, I paint a lot over
I believe
there.
It was
that's
Sutro
in the top
and
three.
Sutro and Audie. But yeah, Montello's like a block away from that.
Yeah, the one I was going to say is actually real close by. It's the one on Silverado, right next to Bizarre Guitar.
Oh.
That one on the corner right there.
Ooh, that is awesome.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I used to live right down the street from there, and like you go there at night, and like I don't know if I'm going to walk home or not. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
You know, Rick, bike around Sparks. Like, yeah, that was a good sketchy one, too. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's worse now. But I'm sorry, the correct answer was Second Street.
No, the correct answer is Wells. What?
The Second Street right up the road.
Second Street and Wells. That's my idea.
There's two Wells. There's the Jub one. And
they're both
Taco John's.
And that's a close competition.
Which is weird that Jim Boys is down the street, too.
At the end of the year, we're going to award the title to one of those two Wells. We're just gathering points from all of the guests this year.
We have some data.
This is still a good question. What is the first album you ever purchased?
First album I ever purchased with my own money. I think it was "And Justice for All" from Metallica.
Strong answer.
Like I'd had albums bought for me before, but that was the first time I went into a store and was like, "This is what I want," and handed somebody
exactly.
money. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the point of the question. You got it. Pen?
I bought the America, that horse with no name. And my father would play that for me, like me and my brother Jim. We were in the same room and he'd play that shit.
Did you guys think
that's a good album too.
Yeah. Like, did you guys think it was Neil Young? Because when I was little, I thought that was Neil Young. I didn't know for a long time. I always thought it was Neil Young because it sounded just like him.
Is that kind of nasally?
You know, like the way he sings.
I never looked at it this way.
When I was little, because I was little when that was at like 5 or 7 or whatever, and I was just all, that's Neil Young. And then I got older, and they're like, no, dude, that's not Neil Young.
That is not Neil.
That's American.
All.
I saw, whoa, it blew my mind.
You're right, though.
That was the first one you had. That's fucking dope, dude.
Your next question.
If you could take a celebrity road trip, I know Ian's got his answer ready. But who would you take?
I love
you
the
on
fact
a,
that he's never thought
trip?
About any of these questions.
Actually, let's go on a European road trip with your favorite celebrity or famous person or whatever. Icon.
What is the destination?
And what kind of car would you guys be in?
A Peugeot.
Perhaps in France?
A Fiat?
Oh.
Oh, man.
Who's is it gonna... Fiat Italian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's going to... Fuck, who's even going to be fun, man? I think they all would be, wouldn't they? Who knows? I know what we would be in.
What car?
It would be a van of some kind. It'd be
a microbus.
More people.
A microbus.
Possibly, yeah.
Microbus.
Or a macrobus.
Macrobus.
Like lots and lots of people.
Yeah, I mean that would be a lot more fun. Yeah.
Get one of those weird buses with like plexiglass.
So basically, Pan wants to take the circus to Europe. He wants to pick all the celebrities to go.
I guess if I had to choose. It'd be Sylvia Massey. She's the recording engineer for like three of Tool's albums. And it's just somebody that I'd like to pick
wow.
a brain of.
Dude, yeah, she's really
Nick just fell asleep.
But she is so interesting.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Nick just got like softer than his dick just melted off.
She throws cabinets off of cliffs and records them as they fall.
They shot a damn piano with a shotgun.
Yeah. She sounds like the most interesting person in the world.
For real.
That's pretty fantastic.
Ian, I gotta tell you.
You ever record a penny in a blender? No, because that blender fucking shatters, man.
You can look up, they played at Burning Man, they played the new album on the playa with the guy who does the artwork for them.
Oh, that's amazing.
He did that out there.
Alex Gray?
Yeah, and you can look it up on YouTube and watch it.
Fuck yeah.
Did you see it or did you just look it up on YouTube, Nick?
I looked it up on YouTube. I heard about it out there. They said that Tool was going to play on Saturday night for the band.
Well, Tool was played on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Kinda, by the artist of the guy who drew the pictures. So
the difference
cool.
in syntax, you know?
Yeah, no. By the time it reached Dub, it was Tool's going to be out here tonight. Yeah. I didn't go out and look for it at all. I was already too late to the party. But anyway.
Okay.
Back to the quiz.
I don't want to hear any dirty stuff. What is the stuff? Right. Well, no, and I don't have anything interesting either. What member of the Breakfast Club do you most identify with?
Snore.
It is.
Oh, how dare you?
Okay, well, what's your favorite drunk food then? Also snore?
Who's snoring? Good. Who's saying snore?
Rory.
I only said it to the first one. I didn't say it to the second one. Rick said snore to his own question.
Okay. I'm confused now, you guys. I smoked a lot of weed before the show.
Do Rick and I sound alike? Yeah. I don't think we do.
So what it was favorite drunk food?
Oh. Okay. All right.
Wow, they're both so unenthused for this question.
Both look like people who like food.
I do, but like I just eat whatever's there when I'm drunk.
All right, no. You are in a rocket. You are being sent to Mars as part of the mission to create culture,
you
to create technology, whatever, on Mars.
You gotta pick what you're
What is the last meal you have on Earth?
Oh, that's a good one.
Before you get shot up in that rocket ship.
Way to adapt and create.
Adapt. This is old. We always use this.
I've always used this before. It's the same as you're on death row.
It's short-term memory loss. I was smoking weed.
What's your last meal on the green earth here?
I have some sushi one last time.
Some fresh
fish. Not bad.
Why not?
It is my favorite.
Yeah.
I'd probably ask my mom to make this thing that she used to make when we were kids called Biscuit Surprise, and it's just like a whole bunch of biscuits in a tin with just cheese and ham and canned peas, and like it's like the poor food we used to eat.
We
growing
broke
up.
Shit on a shingle.
Yeah. That question.
Mom is shit on a shingle.
Yeah.
That's right.
Did she put like all the stuff in the bottom and then put biscuit mix on the top and then bake it?
No, it was just it was biscuits on the bottom, then everything else on top.
Dude, I don't want to be fucking that guy, but back to Burning Man. on one of the mornings we woke up and they were camping there, and they had brought over all in individual aluminum foiled packages, stuffed biscuits and gravy. So like it was already stuffed with gravy inside of it. So when you cooked it on the burner thing and it heated up, they just give it to you. Rick's getting annoyed. He's turning up the music. and then they also had a pot of gravy right there, so you put a little on top of it.
That sounds amazing.
And I didn't know that it was inside of it, so when I'm eating it, and then it was also inside of it, I was all, holy shit, this is the best biscuits and gravy I ever had. It was great. So shout out to my neighbors who were fucking Brian Smith's cousins and
blah, yeah, blah. Brian Smith.
One of the head monkey chiefs out there who told me it's all about that little squirt of serotonin.
Show, Brian Smith.
Serotonin. The little squirt. Burning Man. Neck. 2020, you guys. 2020. We're going. We're going to take the worst little camp out there.
And this is why we haven't done a
camp
Burning
right
Man
next to Voted Best
in
Camp.
7 years.
Voted Best Camp had a fucking roller coaster, and they had a half pipe, and they had punk rock the whole week.
And then they burned their half pipes, which, you know, is awesome too.
They did?
Yeah, Voted Best Camp burns them their pipes every year.
They just build it every year?
Yeah. That is something Davey right and the dudes
That's
out there are
rock.
Really proud of. Yeah, all right.
That's Buddha awesome. Too. Like, it's combining some cool shit.
To see your pipe burn on top of a pile is a kind of a sight.
I want to go to the half pipe burn. Fuck, I didn't even know that happened. See, I'm fucking missing out. I've been all these times and I'm still missing out.
Yeah. There you go.
You gotta go. It's so fun.
Spend more time at Voted Best go. Camp, dude.
Yeah. But we anyway, had a worst
this
little
is the,
camp.
Okay.
There was a talk show out there.
We were having a quiz, a I think, at some point.
Was
in
on
all
asses.
We're doing.
Everybody's doing great.
Everyone's laughing.
Rapid fire. Biscuits and gravy or an omelet?
Biscuits and gravy.
Omelet.
Elvis or Beatles?
Beatles.
Beatles.
Rick.
Oh. Pizza or hamburgers?
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza. Yeah.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
The Wars.
I mean, I kind of have. I have it tattooed on my body.
Enormous. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Rebel Earth. Fucking scum.
Fuck yeah.
Forever, man. Forever.
Rebel scum. That's a rad band name. That's going to be our
Who is the fight?
You have to have one of these
yeah,
to get in.
That's it's right. a requirement.
That's it. First, next two people in, we're going to fucking
Who wins in a fight, a python or an eagle?
Jesus, the python.
The eagle.
Donkey or walrus?
Fucking walrus.
Yeah. Donkey? Yeah, let's go donkey.
Rick, do you got a fight question?
Oh, no, I was going to say somebody shits in your mouth or you have to knock down a stranger.
God, yeah, I'd knock down the stranger.
Right? You know? Most people would.
Yeah, I think so.
That is a weird, obscure question. When did you come up with that, Rick?
Just now.
Wow.
The last 15 seconds.
That was kind of Chewy-esque of you. You're like, just make
That's
one up.
I was trying to channel Chewy.
Yeah. Who wins in a fight, Jim Kirk or Luke Skywalker?
The Skywalker.
Yeah, all day's Luke Skywalker. You got the Force, man.
Spock or Luke?
Ooh.
Spock, in that case.
Luke's a whiny little bitch. Spock will just sneak up behind him.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Speaking of Burning Man, you know that Leonard
Nimoy's
son put him out at the temple that year when Spock died, and Spock was there.
Amazing.
No.
Just saying.
Everything I'm about to suggest as a rapid fire is really bad, so I won't say Burning Man or any of the thousand of things I'm not saying.
Burning Man or your other favorite festival? Go!
Burning Man.
I've only been to one festival besides Burning Man, and I've never been to Burning Man, so I guess Warped Tour?
Warped Tour. Good, good.
Okay, there's a good suggestion.
All right, well, it's short because it's just two people. This is hard.
Yeah.
AIDS or cancer? Know. Jeez. Let's go old school.
All right, yeah, AIDS all the way.
Yeah, AIDS, because, I mean, they're closer to curing AIDS than they are to curing cancer, so, you know, it's manageable at this point.
Everybody's going to fuck so much when they figure that out.
herpes or
just
every,
one time at
everything
Burning Man.
Sounds like Coldplay?
Oh, fucking herpes, man.
Herpes. 150% herpes. I'll take it twice.
Everywhere. Give it to me everywhere.
All over. Every inch of my body. Yeah.
I think we need to tally up.
Wow.
That's enough.
Yeah.
This has been enough.
The damage is done. and you've done really good, but you fell short by 1 point.
Oh, man.
Pan just edged you.
Toja for the win. Toa Lorient
edged you out by a beanie.
Man, I'm just going to wear my beanie next time. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. If you wear a beanie next podcast, you're going to win it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the only one without headgear in here.
Oh,
so.
But you'll never get to take the quiz again.
Yeah, probably not.
Pan will get to take it whenever we feel it.
But this is his first time on this thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so you're like crushing him, reigning champ.
Man. I don't know, yeah.
Poet Laureate.
How many
quiz
times
winner.
Have you been on?
You're a
only with the band.
Peter.
Only with the band, yeah. I think this is, yeah, maybe three times, yeah.
Cool.
You're right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Three times you get socks, but when you get five, you get a jacket.
Okay. Wow.
Don't say that on air because five timers are going to come back with jackets.
We're obligated.
In like theory. Like that Gilmore did.
Let me,
in theory. He's in the basement of the Potentialists. Like, he's been in there forever. Since it started. Him and Spike. They're great down there.
Oh, yeah. The Maguire.
Yeah. They're always down there.
Well, seeing as we have you on the show, Pan, do you have another poem for
us? I was
going to say,
yeah, exactly.
More
a little more Pan poetry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you bring anything prepared?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you have a poet about us? A poem about this show?
Stop it, Nick.
Is that arrogant to ask that?
That's arrogant. I'd rather hear one of his like pieces he's like working the crowds with.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, well, this one's going to be on the album, and it's the... And it's just still just a poem. We did a lot of weirder shit on that thing. So, but this will be on there.
Give us some lyrics, man. Yeah.
Sure. I don't know that it's lyrics, but this is like the thought. This is like the thought of the summer, like this transition, this change. Something's got to give somewhere. There's a great letting go happening, and. This is for them who stack bodies to reach their fathers and told stories of making love to star people and giants in desert heat, who beget babies of unspeakable wealth, who harvest yet more metal flowers from the scorched earth, who arrived here from Martian soils to force logic death on the thoughts of Athenian princesses, whose kundalini moment awaits us still. Yes, who beget babies capable of loving all the creatures of this earth, producing strange fruit and seeds of abominable Greek nature, who rule in our rule in spinning top fashion, taking turns in this feudal roulette, who created communicative devices to replace what is natural connection and abilities the rational mind simply cannot comprehend, who bend spoons and spout fortunes in sideshow acts for skeptic skeletons and energy vampires awaiting a savior or a second coming. Well, I've been coming all over this motherfucker since puberty failed to suck the magic out of my heart. And I say to you wayward wayseers, all you backyard soapbox speakers, you forward peace thinkers, we're gonna master blast you out your sneakers. I say you are he who sets us free, and you are she who saves all humanity, and we are the people old seers said would come to bring into flower-minded fields and blooming heart chakras, dancing with the moon, knowing full well we can never really touch her, resting in the earth, breathing in her bountiful bosom bliss, reshaping creation, imagination manifested fully, walking ancestral dynasties into the present, and there is no time like now. So undress your spirit, stroll naked down your city streets and small town courtyards, proclaiming, shouting with the voices of 1,000 seraphim angels, I know the truth. Wealth is not measured in belongings or bonds or gold, and I know the truth. You are infinitely larger than your bodies. Endless is your soul, and I know the truth. Power is laughing at those who seek to control, and I know the truth. You are not alone. You are so not alone. And I know the truth. There's more going on than my eyes can see. And I know the truth. And it has set me free.
That's amazing, man.
Hell yeah, brother.
Wow.
Do you have any spoken word performances happening anytime?
Yeah, they asked me to talk about fucking toxic masculinity. I'm doing it on... Within the other two are like New York Times best-selling authors, and then I'm fucking in there. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Maybe one day.
So, so I'm gonna be there, and I wrote some poems. I was unsure about one. I put it out to the public for like a little feedback, and I got like people calling to make sure I was all right. And I'm like, okay, I had to put a fucking disclaimer on it.
I remember that one.
But I'm going to perform that one, and then talk about how fucked up it is. We live in funny fucking times. I mean, we live in like,
it's
time
goofy.
Of great change.
It's goofy.
When are you going? When are you going to be talking
the,
about
yeah,
this
is the literary crawl. This is Thank one of you. Them. Yeah, this is. I'm horrible at this shit.
Yeah,
I just like to relax. I don't give. But no, it's the literary crawl, and it's Saturday. And it's all day. The event that I'm in is
Saturday the 14th here?
Yep, Saturday the 14th.
Where is it being held?
It's being held all over town.
Oh,
the
excellent.
Event, yeah.
It's a crawl.
It's a crawl.
All right, it's a crawl.
Yeah, my event is at 5:30 and it's
PM.
Yeah, PM. And thank you. You're
well, asking hey, all no, the best
doing,
questions.
He's doing great. No,
Reno fucking crawls. You never fucking know. It doesn't matter if literary or pirate.
At the end of it, you got to hear Penn at 5:30 in the morning. You're going to fucking dig it.
I would dig that at 5:30 in the morning after like crawling all fucking night to hear you spit some lyrics.
Everyone on acid and speed. Come on out.
Yeah. It starts at... The book Sundance Bookstore at 11.
Okay, excellent.
And then it moves, and you can grab your pamphlet, and then you can make
it's a day crawl.
All the Well,
I'm sure you can find out all the information on their Facebook event page.
You can
also
yeah,
you can get
nice.
The schedule at NevadaHumanities.org.
Thank you, Ian.
Wow,
looking
God
it up.
Damn, he's
wow.
professional.
That's why he's the awesome assistant.
The young kids—they're just fast on those cell phones.
I saw a friend post about it earlier today. So.
Yeah, it should be really fun. So, I look forward to it. And this topic, I was going to invite a female up to talk about toxic masculinity with me, but that was decided that probably wasn't good. It's going to be the guys talking to the guys. And maybe that's what we ought to do. We got to redefine what the fuck we are, honestly.
No, exactly. There's a lot of cultural misperceptions that keep getting handed down because of awkwardness or not wanting to, you know.
Yeah, and we're like...
No, exactly. Like, any guy who's pretending they don't know what we're talking about is full of shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the secret conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got to... I grew up with a bunch of cowboys. Like I wore the boots. I fucking, you know. But like
there's nothing wrong with the boots and a cowboy.
No,
right, Rick?
It's still fun, yeah. No.
Boots scootin' like, boogie.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's good. It's good, but that's like, you know, and it's just something it's a part of what we need to change and talk about and make some amends here so that we don't keep running into these same problems over and over again, like suicide and mm-hmm. I mean, real honest to goodness problems.
Oh yeah,
our women fucking hate us. We don't know why. You know, like, you know what? You know, look how mad every fucking buddy is. I mean, Jesus God, they're mad. They're mad. The women.
No,
are mad.
The tradition of
mad,
boys
know?
Don't cry and men swallowing their emotions and turning to excited outbursts and alcohol or other sorts of any other not even alcohol but any other form of addiction of any kind. That is the byproduct of repression. And this toxic masculinity, and has become toxic because it just recycled and never let out, except in these outbursts that are
and rarely addressed. So, like the Me Too thing made people have to address it, and like women have had enough. So, if you're a dude and you have a dick, you should just shut up and listen.
Yeah,
maybe just sit down and read "Dear God,
It's Me, Margaret."
If you're
a dude and you're one of the girls,
no, I'm not even fucking shitting right there.
Yeah,
just sit down and read
"Dear
God, It's Me, Margaret."
What do you think, Rick, as a gay man?
I was one of those people who I was always terrified when I was a scrawny, like 120-pound gay kid. And had funny hair. I remember walking past regular sized men and just being terrified and thinking, look at my feet, but don't don't, and but pay attention to where they are and being constantly scared. So I remember what it was like to be scared around men when I was tiny. And I always think about that when, and I wasn't a woman, but I was small like a woman. I was defenseless like a woman. Like, I don't mean women are too small and defenseless. What I mean is that I've had women tell me, you don't know what it's like to be scared every time you walk past a man. And when I was a gay kid in the 80s, I didn't know what that was like. All I felt was fear.
And if you've seen the pictures in the hallway, you go, oh, yeah, he would have been scared.
Scrawny, terrified little gay kid everywhere I went. And I have been attacked, and I have had horrible things happen to me. But then I began to turn it around and become angry. And I got madder and madder and madder. And then every day of my life was filled with anger and rage, and then broken up by tiny moments with friends and family where I was comfortable and happy, but the rage was underneath all of it. And the only thing that I could do to stop that was when that first couple shots went down right after I got off work. And that was how I became alcoholic.
Fucking gnarly.
So then I discovered that I had to let go of the fucking anger and rage. Resentment, anger, rage, and fear are things that I have to fight. I cannot have those in my own head. And suddenly I was able to fucking not be a total worthless fucking drunk that lost his shit and smashed everything all the time.
You're a fucking walking angel, Rick. I love you.
Yeah.
No, but what you just said there, that's just simply one example of how that kind of thing manifests. And your path to the toxic.
Being young is hard.
Right.
Yeah. Being young is hard.
The toxic masculinity was my escape from all the fear and horror. Yeah. And then I had
teaching
to conquer
that. Teaching
me how
to work out and get glistening.
Oh, God. That was the good side of it. The bad, side of it was, because there are great things about masculinity. It's beautiful. It's an amazing part of humanity.
Absolutely.
It's just that awful shit. That awful shit. And when that would explode, you remember, Rory? We'd all be sitting down and everything would be fine. And all of a sudden, I would just pick up the nearest glass object and pitch it against the wall.
You are not the only. I did that shit too. It's just most of the shit in the house was yours, so I wouldn't pick it up. I wasn't going to break your shit. That'd be crossing a fucking line. Fucking I'd break my shit. You'd break your shit. We'd slam our own fucking doors. Which we later came to find out that even as roommates, that was domestic violence.
Yes.
Wow. Even slamming doors angrily at your roommates or you know, your partner, your child, like that is because that's creating tension
when
in
when you're
household.
In a fight and somebody
and
punches
we're
a
all
wall,
fucking guilty. I'm dude, not saying this is
reportable
offenses, but these are the things we have to keep in our minds, go yo sometimes you cross a line because you just can't take no more, but you can't cross those lines because that's what I do.
I get away with it.
I cross it
exactly.
I cross the shit verbally. Like when I know like when I go.
Art's a different story, right?
When I go too far, I can't. My tongue gets ahead of me, and I say shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, that I shouldn't say, and that's really is made. I hate myself for it. I don't. I mean, like I love me, but like. That part of me just can eat.
No, well, we all got something to work on.
Yeah. But yeah.
What happened? We're getting to the end of the tunnel here, but that just got like deep and gnarly.
Just got real.
And that's good.
We got some stuff to think about when we get back together next week.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And make sure your beer boxes are still.
Yeah. Have your tool pack right next to you so you're ready.
I do want to like awkwardly segue this into there's a whole lot of great stuff happening in Reno this weekend. In addition to the literary crawl going around town, please check out the Tyler Stafford CD release show going on September 14th.
Great
That's
guy.
Also Saturday at Wingfield Park. That's going to be 5 to 9:30.
Nice.
His new album, Before We Get Carried Away. Tyler's a great friend and a consummate performer and a great Reno musician who we're trying to get on the show here. It's just a matter of logistics. He's having a baby. It's not going to happen.
Aww, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I think. Yeah, that was him that said that. Shit. Now I'm wrong, and I'm just creating a rumor. I don't even know if that's true. Might be.
Man.
I think that everybody who doesn't show up for the show is having a baby.
That's exactly what's happening every time.
So.
Oh, crap. I just love, damn it, I was looking at the events page and stuff. Oh, yes, also Friday, Recycled Records, Paul's birthday, bye-bye, going on in the Saint. But that's
Paul,
like,
we love you.
Right across
Recycle
the street
Records
from each
rules.
Other. Mm-hmm. Recycled Records, if you haven't known, Paul, the owner, is retiring, and he's selling it to his business partners for the last few years.
Dude, Reno icon.
Dude, he's taught us all how to rock and roll.
My whole life.
And how to funk and to groove. dude, he's got it all. So go down to the Saint. Go down to Recycled Records. He's literally releasing a lot of his personal collection into the wild.
Dude, anyway. I heard they had their biggest sales day ever when he did that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody went to buy Paul's records. Paul's boutique for real.
Yeah.
And they're in Reno.
And it doesn't suck.
And it doesn't suck.
What the fuck? There's a lot of stuff going on in town. You know, we'll have more information to you in the blog post like we always do because Kim's awesome. And she researches these things that I don't because
God bless you, Kim.
And if you wanna, you can get some awesome exclusive material from the Worst Little Podcast. You just have to become a Patreon member.
Oh, look at Nick here. Remember.
And if you
stuff.
Become a Patreon member, you can contribute any amount you want. If you contribute $5 a month, then you get the free show.
Secret pre-show.
You get the free show.
This pre-show had a track that we have never released, that has never been released anywhere, from one Zach Ryan.
Ooh,
he's good. I was here for that.
Excellent. Yeah. Zach's a good bud.
And we also told secrets, things that no one else will ever know.
Secrets
if you didn't,
on the show.
If you didn't hear the show. Secrets.
So glad I wasn't here, but we're going to still have that open.
You know what's great about the... I like when everybody
else... I'm
still
stewing over the show open.
Everybody else does the pre-show, and I like when I get my email from Rick, and I listen to it, and it's only like, you know, 7 to 10 minutes maybe, and then and it's just like, it gets me excited for our podcast.
Yeah, I get them every week, too, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's gotten out of my work recently that we do a podcast.
That are surprised.
So I'd like to I'd like to welcome all of my coworker listeners who might be listening to this episode. Shh, don't talk about it.
Not safe for work.
Don't make eye contact with me.
Don't ask about the beer boxes.
And with that...
ladies and gentlemen, this has been a really fun episode. I hope you've had as good a time as we have. And I'll really be happy when Rick edits the shit out of this. for Nick Ramirez, Dogwater Dick, Chewbacca, Cadillac Kim... Our guests, Ian and Pan, I am the Reverend Rory Dowd saying life is short and we love you. So good night, ladies.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Space-time fluid by the Lazy Universe.
Hey, love.
Is there anything particular that you fancy?
Dark Water Studio.
Not bloody lightly.
Yeah.
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 Yeah.